Hello everyone, welcome to a new episode from Zero to End. Today I am with Nathan and Joshua. The last name, it's kind of not common for me to pronunciate, so I'll like ask the guys to say it, but basically both guys have created a book, an open-minded education book, where it helps you to, you know, open your mind about different kinds of getting yourself educated, and we're going to talk about that. Nathan was here already, but the podcast was in Spanish. Now we're going to do it in English with both of the book authors. So guys, could you please introduce yourself to the audience so they know you better?
Yeah, of course. Thanks so much for having us on the show. It's a pleasure. My name is Nathan Gavundian. And yeah, the last name is a doozy. So no, there are only a select few that can pronounce it. So no worries there. But yeah, I'm one of the authors, and then Josh is the other one.
Yeah. Sorry about the webcam issues, but I'm here. I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having us.
Sure. And Joshua, can you introduce yourself? I know you're brothers of Nathan, but what about a little bit of your background, or your like a brief biography of yourself?
Yeah. So like Nathan, we both work for our family business, but then we, as you know, of course, we wrote the book together. We both have are passionate about helping people kind of do what they love just in general. So we're excited to see where that takes us. And yeah.
Cool. So Nathan told me that he went to a mission, and he went to El Paso, Texas, and learned Spanish. Did you have similar like story?
No, I didn't. I personally did not serve a mission like Nathan. However, we both have the same religious background, and we both are, you know, we enjoy similar things, but no, I did not have that opportunity.
Oh, I told this is my ignorance speaking. I told it was like mandatory for you to do this mission, like you need to do it because
it's encouraged, but it's definitely not something that's like frowned upon if people choose not to. It's definitely not a mandatory thing.
Okay, cool. That's interesting, because I learned a lot from Nathan about that, because doing that, you learn learn for people saying not to you, right? Because I see that when you are doing that kind of work, some people like tend to say no, they don't want to hear about God, you know? That's something that you need to deal with almost every day. And that's skill for anything in the life, you know, because if you are going to be a seller, you need to be able to deal with rejection. So I guess that's a skill that you learn on doing that mission.
Right.
Yeah. So there is this book, Open-Minded Education, that you guys wrote, and Nathan was telling me that the experience was you did split, like some chapters, like you decided to pick up some of them and Nathan the other. So tell me a little bit, how did you decide it, how you were going to pick up those chapters and split it? Because I know it's more or less like based on which one have more experience on what, but maybe there could be chapters that both of you could, you know, do, but you decided to split still.
Yeah, there was definitely some factors that had to do with like our past experience and our experiences in our lives, but also just the topics in general. Some of us felt more passionate about certain topics, and we decided to split it where we kind of just did what topics we loved. And that's not to say each chapter is only done by one of us. We tag teamed on several of the chapters because there were some topics we were both very passionate about.
So you guys like gather and review it.
Yeah, exactly. We essentially we proofread everything together, and we made adjustments that we felt were necessary to make it better.
All right. So there is a chapter about I don't know the name of the word in English. How do you say abundancia?
Oh, abundance. Yeah.
Yeah, abundance. Yeah. There is a chapter about abundance, and that's something that I find very interesting because a lot of people think they are not worth of abundance, but you guys understand, I understand you explain that it is for everyone, right?
Right.
Can you expand on that?
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, really, in the book, we talk a lot about how really there's just two mindsets, right? So you're either in, and then what we say in the book is that you're either in lack or you're in abundance. And the way you can tell is you can just, if you just stop for a second and think about what emotions are you feeling, right? If you're feeling anger, if you're feeling stressed, if you're impatient, if you're feeling that there's, rushed maybe for something, or just anything that's really not a positive emotion, you're really in lack, right? Because if you're rushed, you're thinking, oh, I better do this before this runs out or before this happens. And you're just in the mindset of, okay, there's only so much of the pie. And if I don't get my piece of the pie, I'm not going to eat pie, right? Whereas abundance is more, if I don't get the piece of the pie, that's cool. I'll just make a bigger pie, right? So it's a lot more of just, I guess, more of a creative energy instead of just using what already seems to be in existence to us, what we can already physically see. Mm-hmm. It's more of a creative thing.
It is a change in our mind, you know, because we are all wired since our childhood on how things needs to be done. Mm-hmm. And there is this limitations that we have, like limiting mindsets or something like that. I don't know how to say it exactly. Yes. There are things that you learn when you were a young boy, and then those things are, you carry on then on your adult life, and you end up thinking those limitations still apply when in reality you are a grown up and those limitations are not a problem anymore. So it's like that. There are many other kind of limitations that does not help you to get abundance, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, something else we talk about in the book, and something that what you were saying reminded me of, is just how, yeah, we are conditioned from a young age to believe certain things or to think a certain way. And we talk about in the book, just the process of training a flea, you know, because fleas jump high. But if you put a flea in a container with a lid on top, then they'll jump for a while and they'll hit the top, but then eventually they'll become trained to jump however high that container is. And that even if you take the lid off, even though they have the physical ability to jump higher than the container, they're not going to. They'll jump as high as the lid was because that's how they're trained, that's how they were conditioned. Which is interesting because, you know, you think about they're able to do so much, right? But they don't, like, once they get conditioned a certain way, they seem to forget that. And I think we're a lot, you know, very similar. It's just that, you know, whenever we are trained or conditioned to be a certain way, to think a certain way, or to do certain things, we tend to continue on in that path and not look, or how do I say this? Not swing for the fences, you know, not look to break those boundaries, break those barriers.
Yeah. And I believe that's when you are an adult, that's like when you are into your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, you are just okay as it is, right? You could get higher jumps, but you don't do it. And you told me something that I remember. Like, it was interesting hearing that from you. Like, entrepreneurs, they have no ceiling, right? They have a lot of there is nothing, there is no limit. Yeah. So yeah. You don't have a ceiling, so you can jump as higher as you want, but there also there is not a floor. So that's kind of interesting to know. When you have this open mind education, you know that there is a lot of for you to grow, but there is also the challenges that make you go you know, perhaps below where you were, as opposed to where people's that we are, like, this close-minded education is like, we are on a comfort zone, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And there are not that much risk and stuff like that, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. You brought up an interesting point about the whole comfort zone concept. I mean, everyone struggles to get out of their comfort zones. Some are better than others, but really it's just a matter of being willing to face the fear of the unknown and expand your horizons and just try new things. That's really what we need to do.
Yeah. And when you say it, it sounds easy, right? You know, expand to new things and remove the fear to the unknown, but it is kind of hard. I mean, even for people that do like risks, it's still kind of hard to, you know, get off of your comfort zone, because you'll go to some place or you'll do some things that you are not aware of the outcomes of those things. And then at the end, you may have fear for that. And in theory, it sounds kind of easy, but in practice, I believe it is not that easy. And when you do, you realize that there are a lot of benefits, but there are also a lot of challenges on it, right?
100%.
Agreed.
Yeah. Yeah, I was working for a client for a couple of years or more, a couple of years, like for 4 years. And I decided to go away. And it is like going out from my comfort zone. And I am kind of happy, but I am kind of stressed because there is a lot of new things to learn, you know. And that's a good thing. And I believe you told me about this as well, Nathan, that we need to be able to be comfortable without being comfortable, something like that. Like, we need to be able to deal with not being in our comfort zone, something like that.
Right. Yeah. Be comfortable with the uncomfortable. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's interesting, right? So this open-minded education book, it's more about I understand is all of us learn in different kind of ways. So there are people that are more intelligent in, you know, mathematics and stuff like that. And there are people that are more social, and the ones in mathematics are like less good on social stuff. So I guess the idea of this book is help you to realize that and help you to know you that at the end, you could do what you love and get money in the process without the need to think I am not that good at the other stuff, right?
Yeah. I mean, you pretty much hit it on the head. I mean, we're starting off the book, we just talk about just the education system and how in so many ways it does condition us to be a certain way or to do a certain thing. And it kind of frowns upon those that decide to do things that like, oh, like that job doesn't make a whole lot of money, or oh, you can't make a whole lot of money studying that, you know? And really the premise of the book is, if you open your mind, like jump out of the box that you were put into, essentially, if you went through that, the education system, you really can do anything you want to and make millions of dollars in the process. It's just a matter of where your mindset is at. And you just got to look at things from a different angle.
Yeah. And this is, you say the our school system, and you know, US, I am in Mexico, but basically the school system in most of the world is similar, where it was designed a long time ago when the Industrial Revolution came, and we had this, when there is at the end of a class, there is a ring the companies used to do for the employees and stuff like that. So they put in our heads like this mindset of that's how is life, you know. And there is good thing with there are other like kind of alternative schools where they teach you differently. But unfortunately, that's not like available for everyone. You know, public education is like the more like the first one I was talking, and then the private education is like more open-minded, let's say.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And it's, you know, in many ways it's better than nothing, right? Like we don't want to like, one of the things we talk about in the book is just that really education is essential. Everyone needs to be educated. You know, the way you go about doing that is different for everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. I do have the privilege of being able to put my kids on a private school, and they go and they do not sit like I used to do, like in rows and columns. They do sit like in their own small tables with like four kids, and they work on whatever they want. They do not get the teacher in front of them saying what to do. Instead, they go and grab the work they want to do. And I find that's like a great tool for them, because that's how life works, right? You can do whatever you want. You just need to organize and do it, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Right. So I believe Joshua is a kind of bit quiet. I don't know, Joshua, if you could tell me what is the best part of the book you really enjoy when you were writing it, and you really think is the one that brings you more fulfillment when you were doing it.
Yeah. So sorry, I've just been, you know, you guys have been hitting the nails right on the head. You guys have been saying everything that needs to be said. I'm definitely in agreement with everything that's been said. Just going back to the whole public education, I mean, most public education nowadays is structured as more of a conveyor belt, if you will. It's like, it's just not focused on the individual kids. It's more of just, you know, all the kids are just numbers in many of the schools these days. And so, yeah, private schools, many private schools are great because most of them have less kids, and two, they have a different, I guess, structure so that the kids can learn what they need to but also what they want to. My favorite chapter of the book was probably, I believe it's the second to last chapter. It's whenever we talked about facing opposition. I think the chapter was called "You Can't Touch This" or something. It's about just whenever we face the criticism and opposition from just everyone around us, with whenever we're trying to follow our passions and our dreams. There's different ways we can respond, and it's about responding instead of reacting to the opposition we face. And so we have the choice to either react in a negative way, or we respond and we think and we take in whatever criticism we may get and better ourselves with it.
Yeah. And you know what? I believe it's very hard to deal with opposition or with criticism when it is from our loved ones. And that happens to be the case for a lot of people when they are trying to, you know, embark on a new adventure. And then they need to deal with that, because it's, you know, your loved ones are the ones that are telling you that don't do that because it's going to be bad for you, and still you need to deal with that.
Right. And I said that briefly talked about the chapter a moment ago, very lightly, but I still struggle. I'm sure Nathan struggles with the opposition we face. We all do. It's no one's ever perfect. It's just something we constantly have to work through and adapt when necessary.
Yeah. When you guys started thinking on this idea of writing a book, did you get any opposition of it?
Yeah, definitely. Give me a second to think about it. For our immediate family was definitely very supportive. But I would say most of the opposition comes after the book is written. Whenever you have all the critics and people writing reviews, and you just have to learn to, you know, accept their opinions. It's their opinion. And that's that. And just move on. Try to take what you feel is constructive criticism, what is genuine criticism, and you work on improving there rather than the criticism where they just want to bring you down and they don't care about you, you know?
Yeah.
Nathan, you got any thoughts on that?
I mean, yeah, you pretty much hit it on the head. I mean, it's kind of funny in the, in the acknowledgments at the end of the book, we even just have a little paragraph there that just says, you know, thank you to anyone who doubted us, who opposed us, who told us we couldn't do it, because really you gave us the fuel to do it. I'm the kind of guy, and I know Josh is very similar in this manner, is just that if you tell me that like I can't do something, I'm going to say, okay, well, watch me do it. Like, watch me prove you wrong. Mm-hmm. And so maybe that's a little arrogant, a little prideful, but I like to think of it as ambitious in a lot of ways. And really, you're always going to have opposition. I mean, whether you're staying in school, whether you're dropping out, whether you're you know, sending your kids to public school, whether you're sending them to private school, you're always going to have people tell you that, oh, you should do it a different way.
Yeah, regardless of the options. Yeah, there is always people will oppose and it doesn't matter. And people would, you know, support you. But at the end of the day, regardless of your selections in life, you will have opposition, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that thing that you mentioned about criticism of the book, like when it was published and then people started to reading and publishing their comments and reviews. I believe that's, I have not written a book, but I believe that's a great service that they provide you, because they may tell you things that you didn't realize. And there are people that are, well, people are stupid, right? And there will be silly comments like, I don't like the book, and that's it. And that's not enrichment, right? You need to get like details on what you didn't like, and maybe
right.
like to learn from that. And I believe there should be times where you write a book and then you read those comments, and then those comments may be like enlightening and may change your point of view in a way, right? Or your ways to do things, right?
Yeah, and you can kind of tell whenever it's genuine criticism. Usually the genuine criticism comes whenever, you know, they say they like certain aspects of the book, but maybe there's a couple things that maybe we could consider changing going in the future. And then the ones that don't seem very genuine are the ones that where they straight up just say this, that, and the other thing is terrible about the book, and I don't like it, and you know, yeah. And what are you going to do about that?
Yeah, it's really influencing people 101, right? Yeah. If you want someone to really take to heart the constructive criticism or whatever you're telling them, like, you need to A, be their friend, and you need to B, make it seem like you're not just destroying them or tearing them down. And so either those people that said those things about the book that were just all negative need to just learn better tact and learn how to really just how to win friends and influence people, like the book, yeah. like the Dale yeah. Carnegie, his book talks about, or they need to really just decide not to say it or decide not to stir the pot. You know what I mean? Like, it's because it's either you, because if you really want it to make a difference, yeah, like what Josh was saying, you've got to do it tactfully and in such a way that people will be like, yeah, you know, that's a good point. Like, I didn't really think about that. Like, thanks for opening my mind, you know? And that's, I don't know if you've, I'm sure you've read, I think we talked about this last time, just Robert Kiyosaki, some of his books, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, things like that. He shared one time, I think I was on his podcast or something, and he shared that he's always looking like to change his point of view, right? He's always looking for something that could change the way he's thinking. And I just like that way of thinking, because, like, you know, we don't know everything. And just because you write a book on something doesn't mean you know everything about it. It just means, this is what I know. I want to share it. Let me know what you know so we can, you know, learn together.
Yeah, that's a great thing that Robert Kiyosaki says, and I believe applies for a lot of book authors, because there is one guy called Malcolm Gladwell that I read his mm-hmm. book, and then there is one book, and then like a couple of books afterwards, he contradicts whatever he says on the first book, and when he's you know, confronted and asked about that, you did contradict yourself. Like, yeah, that's okay. That was Malcolm Gladwell of 10 years ago. My mind has changed, and I have think that was what I know at the moment, but I know better. So I believe that's a good thing, right? Acknowledge that we can change our point of view, whatever it is.
Yeah, I mean, our book isn't perfect. It's very hard to get a perfect book, I would say. So any criticism we get that is genuine, we really appreciate, and we like to. I mean, Nathan basically said it. We like to learn. We like to change our points of views as we go.
Yeah, yeah. And sometimes when a reader is reading a book and it doesn't find something that it's according to what he believes, that's why they get like this kind of, write this kind of mean comments, I believe.
Right.
Yeah. But it's interesting, right? Like knowing that other people can provide their comments and you guys need to deal with it. And there is a lot of haters out there that they just hate because of it. And there is a lot of good feedback from it.
Yeah.
And what about you, Nathan? What is your favorite part of the book or your favorite chapter? Because Joshua, is this about opposition? And what about yours?
I really like the chapter on wealth mindset. I think it really speaks to any aspect, anything you decide to do. I think it's pretty essential just for what we got to do with life in general, really.
Yeah. There is a book that it's an audiobook that I am listening. It's called Your Life or Your Money. Have you ever listened to that or read that?
I don't think so. I don't think I've read that yet.
Yeah. Well, this is about change your relationship with money and make you financial independent, financial intelligent, and financial interdependent, and gives you financial integrity. And that's cool because it talks about many things related to money and how we spend without conscience, and that's right. That's one of the things that I believe we all do. We go to, nowadays, we go to Amazon and buy stuff just because we can, not because we need, right?
Yeah, no, I like that a lot. I think really, it does just come down to changing our relationship with money, changing how we see money. You know, so many people see money as wealth. And really, I don't believe it's that way. You know, money, I think, is one of the aspects of wealth and is the manifestation of a wealthy mind, right? Because if you're doing the things that you need to do, you know, because you can have all the money in the world, but if your relationships with others are trash, it doesn't matter how much money you have. You know, we've heard from so many people just throughout history that, you know, they had so much money and then they, you know, went off the rails and either, you know, committed suicide or just different things that, like, it's terrible, but it's because they're missing something else, you know, because it doesn't matter how much money you have, really. Yeah. I mean, I was listening to this speech by Denzel Washington a little while back where he said, you know, you're not going to see a U-Haul behind a hearse, right? Like, it's just not going to happen. You know, when you have, like, you're not going to be buried with your money. You know, the Egyptians tried that. They got robbed, right? So it's like, it really doesn't matter how much you have. Although, if you become a certain person, it'll just happen naturally. You know, the money will just flow because you're living your life with a purpose, with a meaning.
Yeah. And this is interesting because it doesn't, the money, as you say, is one aspect of the world, and it doesn't mean that you need to have a lot. It means that you need to have enough, right? Mm-hmm. Enough to be able to fulfill all your basic needs. And perhaps the basic needs of your loved ones, and perhaps some luxuries that makes you feel comfortable. But that's it. You don't need like a lot of money to have enough. And that's what this book is trying to teach you, like change your relationship with money, saying you don't need that much money to live. You know, you just need enough. And that enough is different for you, is different for me, and is different for everyone, depending on your context. And that's an interesting one. So there is one thing we just we did talk on the podcast, and it was that you went into your experience working on an In-N-Out burgers, and I guess that's something that I want to talk with Joshua. What is like your previous job experience, that, and what does that teach you to, you know, write this book?
Yeah, I mean, actually, I've also worked at In-N-Out Burgers as well, after Nathan. So I guess we both have similar work experience in that regard. But I would say one of the main things I learned from working at that previous job was just working hard. I mean, at In-N-Out Burger, they work you hard, but they treat you well. And so if there was one thing I learned while working there, it was just to work hard, put your head down and work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's true on this kind of fast food service, because there is a lot of people going all day long, right?
Yeah.
And then you guys are telling me that you work on your family business. What is that business? I guess I forgot to ask you, Nathan.
Yeah, no, we run an HVAC company, just heating and air conditioning over in the Northern California, East Bay area. And so, yeah, we do that. It's been awesome just getting to learn so much about, you know, just whether it's, you know, working with people, dealing with, you know, employees and things like that, as well as, you know, dealing with customer complaints, just good things to know how to deal with, you know, to know how to, you got to know how to listen. You know, even just yesterday alone, I dealt with a couple of customer complaints. Just the first step is really just listen. You know, a lot of people just want to be heard. And so, you know, when you're dealing, I think it goes back to opposition in some ways, just, you know, listen, you know, act, you know, just be interested in them, you know, and what they have to say, you know, not at the point of you like rejecting yourself or throwing yourself under the bus, but, you know, listening and then just, yeah, going from there. But yeah, it's been awesome. So yeah, just heating and air conditioning. And then, with the book, Josh and I were in the process of developing some online courses, for people. I know we're kind of in the beta testing phase of one of them, and just how to build credit. You know, primarily our target audience is those that are just graduating high school. Mm-hmm. Just because that's, you know, if you can build credit when you're really young, you'll be golden for so many different things. It just opens the doors for, you know, whether you want to invest, whether you want to, you know, buy your own home, or even just getting a good apartment. A lot of times you need good credit.
Yeah. And that credit score is very important in the US. Here in Mexico, we have it, but it's not that important. So you can still get credit without having good score.
Right. Okay.
But yeah, I understand in US it's like very important to have good score credit. Otherwise you won't get nothing.
Yeah, no, totally. Yeah. I think Josh was working on another course, I think more for budgeting for investing.
Yeah. So, I mean, just a background on these courses that we're doing. It's just for now, we're just doing a few. The reason why we're doing them is because we feel, you know, public education doesn't really teach too much of these kind of areas, especially the financial areas. So yeah, like Nathan said, I'm working on the budgeting one. It's basically going to be how you can keep track of your money using just the basic Excel or Google Sheets, spreadsheets. I see these fancy softwares that you pay for that basically watches your money for you. But I can't say I'm an advocate of those, because I believe that everybody should be, you know, keeping their hands on their money instead of paying another company to manage their money. And I think what a lot of people don't do these days is they don't pay attention to where their money is. They don't check their bank accounts. And I think that's a very important thing, as if you want to be a successful person, is you need to watch where your money is going and what you plan on doing with it.
Yeah. And then you help creating these budgets and make some percentage of the your money going to investments or something like that?
Yeah, exactly. I'm basically going to show them how to create their own, like, I guess, categories. And I will suggest putting something away towards investing in something that you, I mean, if you read the book, in our chapter on investing, we talk about, we mentioned a few different, few of the main investments, but I mean, bottom line is we tell the reader that you just need to learn about what you're going to invest in before you invest, because ignorance will cost you money, and especially in the investment field.
Yeah, that phrase is great. Ignorance will cost you money, because it is absolutely true, right?
Yeah.
I am kind of new on this thing of investing, I am a software engineer, so I did my portfolio based on the, you know, software companies, most of them. Mm-hmm. And then, like, a few months ago, Facebook went down, and then Netflix, and I was like regretting about it. But I guess it was in ignorance. It was just bad luck. Now it's getting back, but it was like a big hit on my. I mean, it wasn't that much money, but it was the money that I put there is no longer there because they went down, you know? And
Everyone suffered the hit early this year whenever the stocks just plummeted.
Yeah.
But I mean, we also talk about other investments like real estate. We mentioned that, and as well as things like commodities, like just wealth preservation. Like if you wanted to just get into the precious metals and things like that.
Yeah. And well, you may not know about this, but houses in Mexico are very cheap compared with houses in US. You may invest in Mexico houses and rent and Airbnb, and that would be like a good, opportunity for you, because there is some people doing that. Like they buy their houses in Mexico and they rent them Airbnb because it's quite cheaper, you know. It's a house here, it's going to be a fraction of a house, especially in California, right, where you guys are. It's like real estate is very expensive.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. Seriously. Yeah, and there are people that from US purchase, this they call condos or something on Cabo San Lucas, and then they rent them. That's a good business opportunity for people that can afford to, you know, purchase a house and rent it.
Oh, yeah. Especially the vacation rentals, especially in certain, you know, Cancun or places like that. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. You could think about that as an opportunity as well. And there is this thing about being an entrepreneur and being an employee. So you guys have been both sides. And I believe that's something that not all of us have the chance to do, because myself, I am just an employee. I haven't been able to do anything like entrepreneur. It's just small stuff that I have been doing. But what is like the thing you think about the differences? For, you know, because last time Nathan told me being employee isn't bad, but being entrepreneur isn't that good either. So right, so there are like differences that. That will make every people take different decisions. So what is your take on these ones? What kind of people do you recommend to go into be an entrepreneur, and which kind of people do you think is okay for them to be employees?
Well, as far as the kind of people, I mean, if you're someone who is really has an independent type of mindset and you just kind of want to have your own, be your own boss, then maybe you could look into entrepreneur. If you're someone who just doesn't want the weight of, because managing a business, it is a weight on whoever manages it. If someone doesn't want to manage a business or own a business and have that responsibility, then maybe an employee is the best bet for the time being. Of course, you can always change what your passions are if you eventually want to look into owning a business. Of course, eventually, if you own a business, you don't have to manage it. If you find the right people, you can get them in place, and you won't have to, you know, wear all the hats, if you will. Nathan, what do you think?
Yeah, I think. It's really just comes down to what kind of life do you want to live? You know, if you want to, like you said, you know, if you want to, you know, set your own hours, if you want to be your own boss, if you want to, you know, be able to really determine how much money you make and not be told how many days a year you'll get to have off or things like that, then yeah, entrepreneurship could be an option. But just know that, yeah, like what Obed said earlier in this episode, just that the floor is not there, but the ceiling is also not there. So really, you decide. You know, you could make zero, you could make negative because you spent your money to invest in the business and it didn't happen. You know, it just depends on what you want, right? And if you like that living paycheck to paycheck, if you like, you know, having that security or just knowing that, okay, like I have this, coming in every 2 weeks, right? If you want that, you know, that assurance that it's coming, then, you know, maybe that's a better option. But just don't complain about the people who decide to be entrepreneurs, take the risk and then make more than you. Because there's always going to be people making less than you too. but just so many times we see, okay, the poor against the rich, you know, we see these things and it's like, that's not what it's about. It's about, okay, your decisions, what kind of life are you going to live, and now go live it. That's what the American dream is, right? You know, you have a dream, you can accomplish it with hard work.
Yeah. And yeah. I think one of the reasons why so many people don't want to get into the entrepreneurship side of things is, I mean, it's pretty daunting. You look at it and it's like, you're starting from scratch and you don't even, you know, there's so much you got to learn. That's the main thing though. You got to start out by learning before you commit, you know, a ton of money, or you just start out by reading books. You talk to those who have found success in the entrepreneurship sort of field. You just learn and then go from there. Talk to the professionals is what I would recommend.
Yeah. And with that thing that Nathan say about just don't complain about other people being successful. Sometimes the people that complains are not aware of all the work that it take them to be where they are, right? Because at the very beginning of an entrepreneurship, there is always this going to red numbers all the time, because at the very beginning, there is a lot of investment and putting a lot of time and hours and effort. And then those benefits, you will see them like from months or years from now, right? It's not that good. But when you are successful, other people won't see those things that already happened to you.
Exactly. They don't see the grind.
Yeah. And that's something that we as people, we put out our something on our eyes and don't see that until somebody else tells you about it. So there is some thing that I do usually on the podcast, which is basically talk about personal stuff, like some questions and stuff like that. And I like to ask both you guys some questions. And the first one goes to Joshua, because I learned that you just got married a few days ago. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Yeah. And there is this question is about, where is your favorite place to be? Where are you being? And then this is like my favorite place because of this.
Okay. Just to be in general, like my favorite place in the world.
Exactly. Some people like to be, you know, on a beach, or some people like where they belong because they were raised there. So there is anything in the world where you like.
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I haven't had the opportunity to really travel too much and around the world. So I will have a limited point of view on this, but I personally really, really enjoy being in the redwoods, the sequoias up in the Northern California area. It's very, a very peaceful place to be, and you get nice fresh air because you're right around those super tall trees, and it's just a fun, relaxing place. That's what I would say.
Cool. Is that like a national park, the Redwood?
Part of it is a national park. Part of it is just a place where you can go and visit. Some people go and take their RVs over there and they camp out in the woods. But yeah, I know Muir Woods is a national park, which is over by San Francisco, but it's a pretty big forest. So you can kind of, there's different parts you can visit.
Cool. And then when you did get married, you didn't get a honeymoon, like a honeymoon to another place?
Yeah. So we didn't go there. We just, a friend let us use their cabin for a week, and we just stayed up in, northern Idaho, or northeast Idaho, near, not too far from Yellowstone. We just kind of explored the surrounding area, it was fun. It was peaceful. It was great.
Cool. Yeah. Well. Yeah. Congratulations on you being newly wed. And
thank you.
I have been married for 13 years, and I can tell.
That's awesome.
Everyone can tell their opinion on marriage, isn't it? But what I can tell you is that this thing is, I mean, at least for myself, being married is forever. So there will be problems, and those problems can be sorted out, because some people just, when they see problems, they just, you know, split and they get a divorce because they were problems. But it's not like that, you know, it's going to be.
Right.
a lot of problems, regardless of the people you decided to marry, you know? So
right.
You need to sort out yours. And my advice, so the 13-year-old guy that have been married is just sorted out those problems, and those problems will appear, but those problems will disappear. It's not forever.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if Nathan told you previously, but that's kind of how we work in like the church that we go to is marriage is forever. And so I appreciate your advice, and I'll definitely take that to heart. It's important to me to, you know, keep the relationship and not just give up whenever things get tough.
Yeah, and I say is like that because yeah, my religion also says so. But when mm-hmm. you don't have that in mind, when you think is something like temporary, that's when divorce came along, right? Because you think it is temporary, so you can just
right
find something else, and that's not a good mindset about marriage.
But, I agree.
Yeah, we did talk about Nathan's and you know, religion. And you guys both do the same. So those we did already talk about that, but we call them in here Mormons, and I believe that's like the, you know, not the good name to call you. Is some
yeah, it's like slang. Yeah,
yeah, it's yeah. Like, yeah. And the people make in movies and TV series make jokes about Mormons like knocking on the door, and that's something that I admire a lot, because I'm a different religion, and our religion doesn't knock on the doors that much. They do it like once a year, and that's it. And I know you guys have this persistence of doing it and sharing the love of Christ with everyone, regardless of you know, the negatives.
Yeah.
And then that same question I did ask already to Nathan, but there is one question that I can ask to you, Joshua, is what about if you are a little bit younger than myself, so this question is more or less like, if you can tell yourself from the past an advice, what do you think that advice will be, like a younger version of yourself will need an advice, and that advice can be from yourself? What do you think that will be?
Well, yeah, I guess the first thing that comes to mind is just to keep going, you know. In the past, growing up, there would be times where I would just, you know, I'd want to give up, but yeah, if I could tell my past self one thing, it'd be to just keep going. Don't stop.
Cool. And I believe Nathan's answer was pretty much the same, like keep carry on.
Mm.
Yeah.
Dream big.
Yeah, I can tell you guys are brothers. Yeah. And I did ask this, and it was like, did you guys fight? And Nathan told me, yeah, we do. But there is time for everything, and you do not fight that much, I believe so. But I do have two kids, and a girl and a boy, and they fight all the time, I believe, because they are kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think me and Nathan definitely fought, and especially considering we were both homeschooled. We both had a lot of excess time near each other, and so extra time with each other meant extra time to fight, but we're still brothers. We still live each other.
Cool. And I didn't know that you were guys at home school. So you both didn't went to public school. You were like raised in home school.
Yes. Yeah. We were both homeschooled. For the most part, we were taught by our mother. She did a great job. And then we both did like an online type of high school because it seemed to be a little bit simpler in regards to, because it's hard for a homeschooler to get a GPA without having some sort of high school, established high school experience. And so, we me and Nathan both did an online high school. And after that, Nathan, you did some extra after high school. Yeah.
Yeah. I went to college for a year. And I just decided I didn't want to go that route and decided that, I'll take the no floor, no ceiling option.
Yeah. Cool. I didn't know that. And is this because of your mother wanted like that, or is this part of the religion?
No. Our mother felt it that, she is and was very protective of us, and she felt it'd be a better option just for in general, for us to be, taught by her instead of someone she might not know, and or trust. And but yeah, no, it's not a religious thing. It's not an exclusive. I would say, yeah, definitely most of members of our religion go to a public school.
Okay, yeah, that's interesting. You know, now after COVID hit the world, homeschooling is something that's coming, becoming like mainstream or more common than before.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, another one of the reasons why we were homeschooled is just that, you know, there's just so much that goes on, you know, at public schools. And we've talked a little bit about it in the book. We don't nearly cover all of it, but yeah, there's a lot going on. And yeah, like you said, I mean, it really is a growing trend. I mean, it's kind of a wave, you know, of people that decided to do that. I mean, you think about it. I mean, I did high school in a little more than a year when it takes most people 4 years. Yes. So it's like, for people that are driven, you know, they go to public school. I mean, yeah, they can take, you know, extra credit classes and things like that, but you can't really, you know, finish super early. You still have to go, you know, but you can, you know, you can do things, you know, if that is the path you want to go and you don't have the opportunity to be homeschooled, nor maybe you don't want to be, you can still, you know, get ahead in certain ways by, you know, taking those AP classes or getting those college credits if that's the route you're going to go.
That's great. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. It is very interesting. You are the first guys that I met that are like grown-ups that came out from homeschool, because I have offsprings of friends that they have them on homeschool, but they are just still young, so they don't they haven't finished like their studies. So that's great, and I believe that's makes you guys different from a lot of people, right? Because we just went like to the different route. That's interesting. And then one other thing that I just realized is I didn't know this, and this is like mind changing for my questions, because there is this concept of going to college as yourself, and if you went to homeschool, there is a lot of grades that you need to prove to be there, but for you it wasn't that hard, right? Because you already had like this, you know, online course,
right? That was the big reason why we did that. Because yeah, you need to not be you know, liable to the state or whatever with the different laws regarding education. You need your diploma or your GED or something like that, you know, to prove that you finished high school. But yeah, with that, it was really that diploma that made it a lot easier for applying for college. And I did take the SAT. I didn't have to take the ACT, but I took the SAT, did pretty well. But yeah, that made it a lot easier. And yeah, I mean, anyone can homeschool. It's just a matter of, you know, are you disciplined enough to do it? Because a lot of times it takes a lot more discipline than just, okay, getting up, going to class and having someone teach you all day. A lot of times we had to study in a book and we had to like figure it out. Okay, you don't know the answer. Okay, go back to the lesson, read it and learn it until you get it, you know?
Yeah, it is more or less like working from home. When you are from home, there are a lot of distractions. I imagine as being as a kid and being on home, there is a lot of things to do, like, you know, fight with your brother and also to play with your brother. So
Yeah, so the kitchen, the kitchen's there. You know, for me, it was always the food, right?
Yeah. Well, cool. That's interesting. And then one other thing that I ask is about the book recommendation. I know about your book, but is there another book that you would like me to recommend?
Nathan, did you have any?
I mean, a book that I love, and I think I talked about this actually last time when I was on the podcast, is just the book by Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich. That one's really impacted me. It's changed the way I've seen things. It's kind of made me think of, I guess, what I thought was impossible is now possible, you know, like what you really can, you know, do just about anything if you have a desire backed by faith. And that book teaches that principle, just those principles, so beautifully.
Yeah. I agree with you, Nate. That's a great book. I believe we quote it once or twice at least in our book.
Or a hundred times.
Yeah, I don't know. we definitely quote it several times. I would say one of my favorite books is How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. That one's just, it's so simple, and it lays it out so anyone can really understand. It's just, I mean, everyone needs to learn how to communicate with others, and I really love how it teaches you to be genuine and not just like a fake person trying to persuade someone. It's all about learning to be a good person and just be friends with others.
Cool. Yeah, I had that recommended and I started reading it, and it turns out it is like a very old book that was published many years ago, and then they did like another edition because things have changed from when it was published on today. But yeah, it's interesting. I haven't finished it yet, but it's an interesting book. Yeah, thanks for the recommendations. And then if you had to pick a song and to listen that song for the rest of your life, what do you think that song will be?
Man, that's a good question. It's hard to pick between like an upbeat one or like a slower one. Oh man, if I had to pick one, I'd probably pick I Believe I Can Fly by R. Kelly.
Yeah, that's one, a good one.
Yeah, that one's good. It kind of just fits all different any circumstance, right? Even if you're at the gym working out, you know, just feeling that, just that you can fly, you know what I mean?
That one, it's on Space Jam movie, right?
Exactly, yep.
It make Jordan fly, so it can make everyone.
Exactly, right?
What about you?
That's a good question. I listen to a lot of different music. I do like, I mean, anything upbeat and positive is really what I try to listen to, but let's see. Yeah, I don't know. I'm drawing a blank here.
Yeah, it's kind of a hard question. That's what I ask.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I'd want to listen to it for the rest of my life, but I do like some of the older Imagine Dragons songs, mainly because the newer stuff is quite depressing. I don't know if you listen to their new stuff, but it's not very fun. There was one I had in mind. I mean... It might get a little bit annoying, but High Hopes by Panic at the Disco is a fun song.
I really love that song. I was listening to that song today. I love it.
Yeah. So yeah. I would say that one. I might get annoyed of it after a while, but I would say that one.
It gets good vibes. Yeah, I love that song as well.
Yeah.
And then what about a movie or a TV show that you can recommend me?
Well, personally, my favorite movies would be The Lord of the Rings. I really like The Lord of the Rings, but some of the original Star Wars are great too.
There is a TV series coming this weekend, I believe. The Lord of the Rings.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I saw that. It's on Amazon, right?
Let's see how it goes. Yeah.
Yeah, it looks interesting. I don't know. I have mixed feelings because I feel like that might ruin it.
Yeah, I believe a lot of people think like that.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Maybe they'll surprise us, but yeah.
And then what about you, Nathan? What do you think about TV series or movie?
Definitely The Greatest Showman. If I had to watch one movie the rest of my life, it'd be The Greatest Showman with Hugh Jackman.
Ooh, I haven't seen that one. I'll take a look.
It's good. I like movies that have a lot of, I guess, just the meaning behind them. I like the meaning behind, you know, movies, searching for that. And I just like the different messages it sends. It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's definitely a very inspirational movie.
Cool. I'll take a look at it. And guys, do you want to say something to say goodbye to the audience?
Yeah, well, thanks for having us. Happy to be on here. It's fun. Thanks for, it's great to talk about the book and get to know you more, and happy to be here.
Thanks.
Yeah. And I would just, I guess, just finish off with just some words. They're in the conclusion of the book. And so hopefully this isn't a spoiler for anyone that's hoping to get the book, but there's a part of it that talks about Death Valley. And how years ago there was rain in Death Valley, right? And we think everything's dead. Obviously, the name is Death Valley, right? You think everything's dead, but after it rained, you know, that that season after, there were flowers that grew there. And so it taught us that it's not necessarily dead, it's just dormant because of the condition it's in. And so just think about each one of us, so let's just think about, you know, where we're at, what conditions are we in, and what do we need to do to cultivate our dreams and bring them to life, you know, just like flowers growing in Death Valley.
Cool, very inspiring. Yeah, thanks, Nathan. And that was it for today. Thanks for listening. I hope you guys like it. If you like it, please share it with your friends. If you didn't like, just share with your enemies. The idea is to share. Talk to you later, guys. Bye-bye.
See ya.